Welcome to Ward Theatre Weekly, where every Saturday we share stories from our archive of live performances of the world's best short stories recorded live in Los Angeles, New York, and London, performed by great actors. I'm your host, Cedaring Fox, Ward Theatre's founder and artistic director. Please note that Ward Theatre holds the copyright to these recordings, so no portion of anything you hear may be reproduced without permission. On March 19th of 2024, in New York City, we presented a Ward Theatre event in which four great actors stepped into four great stories with their performances witnessed by the four wonderfully talented authors along with the audience. If you're a Ward Theatre supporting patron or enthusiast member, you'll be able to watch a great video of all the stories beginning next week in your members area. If you're not yet a member, we sure would love you to join. And today, we are bursting to share one of the stories from that performance with you, in hopes that you will come out live the next time we're in your part of the world. On April 12th, for example, if you're anywhere near Santa Monica, California, run, don't walk, to pick up your tickets to our evening with George Saunders. We have an incredible lineup of actors, and you can read all about this show at wordtheatre.org/events. Of course, the one and only George Saunders will be there. Now, to Ward Theatre Weekly. This wonderful story that you'll hear today is by Sadiq Fofana, and here to say a few words about it is the author. Please welcome Sadiq Fofana.
My name is Sadiq Fofana, and I wrote a story called Federation for the Like-Minded, and it was performed by the great Michael Boatman. Boy, did he do a great job on that. It was amazing. I have the way I picture characters, the way I hear their voices, and the way that Michael portrayed Mr. Murray in the story really did it justice. This is a story that I read out loud for readings. This is a story that is dear to my heart. It's based on people that I know. And to hear Michael really render the character, render the strength of Mr. Murray, it really was moving. It was phenomenal. It just made me want to say, hey, and grab him for every one of my readings and say, you know what? You read it. So I think that's the power of Ward Theatre and the power of actors who are well-read and know how to capture a voice and capture a character. And I hope you enjoy it.
I knew that restaurant across the street was set to be a bane at my side from day one. It wasn't more than a week after they did it up. One of the waiters comes right out to where it's me and the pigeons and says, sorry, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave. I don't understand what he's saying until I catch him looking at my chessboard and crate. And for the first time since I ever been on that block, I realized that I was on private property. The second I came to this, I pack up everything and says, sir, I apologize duly. All the while wondering how a wholesome game could be a sore sight for anyone. You see me here. I don't bother nobody. I'm not running up on you and asking for your life. I'm here with my board from right when the sun wakes until it's just me and the sanitation trucks. I play anyone, whether knucklehead or salesman, all in the name of brain exercise and good conversation. Wasn't any different when I was in front of that restaurant. And before that, when the spot was a bodega with the deli meat the flies loved so much, I greeted the patrons coming out, asked them for a go, and enough of them said, why not? You crossed the street here yourself. And what did I tell you, huh? That all I was out here for was for fresh air and recreation? When you pulled up a chair, did I speak any evil on that place? All I said was I was glad you crossed the street and found me, that you'd take black and I would take ivory. I've been here from jump, back when that big retail store at the bend of 125th and Frederick Douglass was a butcher shop, and the fan used to blow the whiff of carved flesh out on the sidewalk. From when, as kids, we'd be on top of abandoned houses, jumping from one roof onto the next. I had been on that block with my board since when I came back home from the war. That was when any old car would pull up on the curb and almost bust your kneecap. When all these fronts you see around here were graveyards for busted TVs and abandoned cars, and the grass, if it grew at all, grew derelict out of the concrete like a trash salad. I'm not saying this with pride. I'm saying I had been there all that time. Always treated the pigeons nice and never once pissed on the concrete. Anyhow, the second time the badge boys came, I had been protruding more to the middle of the sidewalk because a tied-up trash bag was thrown down on the spot I usually claim. It was two hombres. They didn't make a speech, just politely lifted me from the crate and put me in the Crown Victoria. I says to them, I guess I'm going with the siren boys. And one of them says, hey, that's officer friendly to you. But this time, as they were doing their dance, Miss Emeraldine from my building and her troop of women friends, smelling like earth soap, happened to be strolling up that side of the street. This is where the balloon busted, if you will. The minute the one officer took hold of my bicep, those ladies stopped their wonderful afternoon, and one of them steps in and says, we wouldn't be putting old men in jail now, would we? Just when she seen that they were set to treat her like a fleck of dust, she spoke up again and said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm Emeraldine Hurd from the Banneker Terrace Committee of Concern, and that there is Corinthia, and that there is Quanisha. And you must not know how fast we write letters. I knew about Emeraldine. She was one who make the sternos work at the community barbecues and who, on account of her associate's degree, thinks she's the boss of everybody. The others I recognized from them brushing by me in the building all the damn time without as much of as an ado, including the time I was stuck in the lobby bathroom on bated breath, waiting for instructions on how to jimmy the knob. The officer said, we got a call about loitering, and we are responding to it. And Emeraldine said, looking cross, we don't need you up here. Y'all need to be down on Wall Street. Sharp words were bandied back and forth, and before I knew it, Emeraldine said, how about we stand right in front of your car and see if you assault us on your way back to it? I seen where this was going, so I shook my arm out for a second and said, look, here I am, and fumbled my way to the squad car, my damn self. Your move. Not to throw subliminals, but some people say they about change when they really about rounds of applause. The photo op. Look at me helping the down and out. Patting someone on the head to them constitutes a whole lifetime of charity. The whole while they got talons and agendas. They talk a fair game, but I'm convinced of zero to little of it. I might just be an old man with a tough liver who has never been past 125th Street in years, the one who come out early in the morning and go on his walk from one end of the compound to the flower bed near the front gate, but I stand on the shoulders of giants and I peer out at what is and what could be. I'm not gonna deny what these ladies do. Sometimes you need somebody to come around to make sure you're still breathing. someone to buy the Windex and wipe the scrawl in off the lobby glass. If I ignored that, oh, I'd be nothing short of spiteful. But does that give one the right to overstep boundaries? To get bent over with power? To not leave a man alone? After that second time with the policeman, I decided to lay low, and I took to the nook in the back of Banneker near the railing that wobbles. I had it in mind, if I went to that restaurant in the late afternoon with my board, I'd blend in with the crowd. Wouldn't be noticeable at all. But before I could settle in, just me and the building's shadow, those same ladies, smelling like mothballs and hair moisturizer, hunted me down, determined to kill any serenity life could offer. I heard rustling and murmured words. There was a new lady with them whose bones were sharp and whose perfume stung my nose so hard my derriere clenched up. Mr. Murray, Miss Emeraldine says, this is Eunice from the Amsterdam News. Before I could breathe my next breath, that gal clicked on her tape recorder and goes, is that restaurant bullying you? And I said, no. Is that restaurant bullying you? And she says, are the cops bullying you? And I said, only if that's a new phrase for giving orders. She nodded at everything I was trying to tell her, and 2 weeks later, bam, here comes the paper where she wrote the story about me. Old man being forced out of his favorite spot. The tenants of Banneker Terrace in central Harlem are sticking up for a vulnerable senior's right to a city block. I swear, that daggone thing was lying on one of the folding chairs in the laundromat next to some magazines. It went on from there with all these scholastic words about how that restaurant was cutting off the locals. As if that old bodega was the good old days. What about that spoiled bread? What about everyone yelling for they change and acting like they didn't know what a line was? Or what about how those same ladies last year was at the town hall complaining about high fructose? Now, here comes fine cuisine and some occasional live jazz, and they want to act like it's a fight against fascism. As if that place don't bring out nothing but fine folks like yourself. Your move. See, the problem is, when you old, everybody think you satisfied with the living you've done. They like to think of you as perfumed in dry piss, waiting for your call to sunset. Never mind, you could have a whole 20 years left. They'll still act like your back is crooked. You think I just come out here to expire? Let me tell you something. I may not be the smartest in the shed, but I've got ideas. If I didn't, I wouldn't have a checking account with Social Security in it that gives me interest every month. They don't understand that. They busy looking at your bottom lip, waiting to see dribble. They don't want to see you steeped in glory. They want you huddled in the gutter, like a footnote. Everybody want to focus on a damn column and use it as an excuse to target a restaurant. Everybody want to put on a pair of marching boots and raise a bullhorn. We gonna show that restaurant what's what. Perlene on the fifth floor, Guanita, Miss Dallas in 3C, Philippa, the kids, their tricycles, all of them. We gonna stand up for you, Mr. Murray. You might as well have been speaking Mongolian because pity is all I heard. One of the tenants spotted me by the keypad downstairs, this flighty gal who always got to tangle her arm around everybody like she and them are going steady, said, Mr. Murray, I'm going to make a sign that says, hands off our elders. I said right back to her as frank as I could, Now that would be a phenomenal waste of time. She had the nerve to look at me like that's not what she expected. And I stood there in that vestibule refusing to give her solace until she had no choice but to turn around and leave like a hurt cub licking its own wounds. Another day, Emeraldine seen me try to skip by her on the way to the elevator. She gonna hook me with her gnarled nails, and you know what she had the gall to say? I see you're all wound up. Of course I was riled up. I said, I don't need anybody to hold signs up for me. And she looked at me like I hadn't read my history book. See, that's why you have the debilitated climbing Mount Everest and senators holding on to power, blind men tinkling piano keys and people playing guitar with their toes. That's why a quarter of the people dying don't tell a soul. Yet, walk in any building and you'll see somebody who can't hold a lousy door open without bowing his head in condolence. Why can't more people be like you? From the moment I slid my pawn over, you were hell-bent on getting the best of me. See how you got my queen stuck, moated on both sides where I can't go nowhere? Why can't more people be like that? Have them tell it, they'd say Mr. Murray needed us to barge right up to that restaurant's window pane. He needed someone to stand up to those law books and demand his rights. Who else was gonna yell for him? Poor Mr. Murray and his sad and battered life. Mind you, did they dedicate any time to the consulting of me? Did it ever come across anyone's mind that this might require my blessing? So I say, fine, don't consult me. But don't get irate if I sit myself and have no part of it. My apartment is such that I can watch my shows while smelling what deliciousness the Africans is cooking over across the hall. I can look out the window and see down the avenue and then take a warm shower and think about life for the 15 minutes of heat it allows. My bed is low enough. I can roll out of it with no injury and disappear into my own pot of coffee. I got a box fan on the sill aimed right at my favorite chair when I sit down. So, inside or outside, it don't make much difference anyway. I could stay indoors much longer than I can keep my head underwater. Wouldn't take but a switch in my head to bolt my door, which is what I did, and I would have stayed put had it not been a few nights before when I closed my eyes and dreamt of a ghost that turned into Mr. Benjamin Banneker himself. Oh, go ahead and diagnose me. Standing before me like a hologram, he said he taught himself letters and could trace his blood back to the coast, and still, all he got in his name is crumbling walls. I woke up and said to myself, ain't that a fact? Even when your name is in front of a building, they treat you like something that's never lived. I had had enough, I tell you, of all these so-called friends pretending they knew what was in my heart and in my id. Can you picture that? Every Tom, Dick, and Janet thinking you got nothing because a corner was snatched up from under you. I was going to show them what it felt like to have all your business out there by walking down there and putting everybody else's business out there. And I wasn't blinking twice about it. 2 dozen tenants, a mob of them on a perfect summer day meant for kayaking. Standing right by the entrance to the restaurant with signs and loudspeakers. Emeraldine was there and her lackeys, Philippa, Guanita, a couple of others who I wouldn't have known from a spot in the rug. They was acting like it was a goddamn picnic. They bought water coolers with them and chips. Even the patrons was scared to open the door because of them. Give us our sidewalks back, was what they were shouting. Respect what was here before. a block of linked arms and grunting. The bougies dining by the hedges heard it all, as did the gentlemen inside and the ladies with them. I marched right up in the middle of all that. You should have seen how I had them at full attention. I stood right in front of that entrance tent and I says, listen up. And here goes sorry Miss Emerald Dean talking about, hush, everybody. Mr. Murray has something real important to say. I was gonna let it all spew. I was gonna call out Gwenita for claiming other people's kids, Philippa for the stuff her husband do, Miss Dallas for her situation, everybody who's seen me on the streets and seen right through me. Then I was gonna ask everyone out loud if they ever once stopped by me to play. I was really about to do it. But then I took a look at those faces, the swarms of goodwill in them, all open like the purest of lakes, ready for me to pat them on the shoulder and let them know they done all right. I suddenly became too much of a pussyfoot to take that away. I just want to show my appreciation for all this, I says instead. Thank you. And I continue to be the sweet Mr. Murray everyone wanted me to be. So they could commence to stroking each other's feathers and taking black and white photos and say, although they couldn't get me back on that block, they did file the ordinance in my name for this side of the street, the same one we own now. Say, I have a favor to ask. I feel bad coming over the hill and blindsiding you like this. I really do, but I got to before we're done here. I know you be in that restaurant carousing with those who recognize you by name, you enjoying the World Cup, enjoying the election. You seem like the type who, if you said something reasonable, the rest would break their heads nodding to it. See, that day, when all that cahooting was going on, I didn't lack for one match the whole rest of the afternoon. It was a fine day. I mean, really fine. It was then, with that little crowd around me, I had a vision. All of us out there on Saturday, playing. It wouldn't be nothing fancy. You'd show up humble, play somebody to the brink, then shake hands. I even got one of the young bloods to go to the 135th Goodwill for boards, the boards you see under me right now. Let me just come out with it. The bus don't let out on this side. Of the hundreds who empty that restaurant every day, you about the only few who ever thought to cross the street. Next time you in there with your buddies, drinking a glass of the finest, could you lean in and ask them what they got going on in the way of recreation? If they enjoy things that work the brain and open the heart. If yes, you tell them to cross the street and check me out. They won't be sorry they did. Anyhow, regardless of how this goes, grateful for the time. This sure is a beautiful city, isn't it? Don't worry. I can carry everything back with me. See the boards stacking a crate like this, the table folds up, and the legs guide me home. Anyhow, promise me you'll do what I said. Weekdays after sundown, you hear? And Saturdays past noon. I'll be right here.
That's our story for today, folks. We hope you got as great a kick out of Mr. Murray as we did. You'll find Federation of the Like-Minded in Sadiq's wonderful collection, Stories from the Tenants Downstairs, at bookshop.org. This is the first book of stories by the outrageously talented Sadiq Fofana. They follow the lives of residents in a Harlem apartment building, and they flow together beautifully to come full circle in this heartwarming, funny, human, and simply brilliant book of fiction. Sadiq was named a Fellow at the Center for Fiction in 2018, and for his work, he has won the 2023 Whiting Award and was a finalist for the 2023 Gotham Book Prize, and there are many more accolades. And another thank you to Michael Boatman for his wonderful performance. Michael is a talented actor and writer, known for his roles in such renowned TV shows as The Good Fight, The Good Wife, Spin City, China Beach. He was Motown in Hamburger Hill. Michael has appeared in over 60 films and television shows, making his a familiar and lovable face to audiences worldwide. We hope you're enjoying Word Theater Weekly. Tell your friends about us and find us when we're in your neighborhood live. We'll be back in New York this summer. If you're not yet on our mailing list, make sure to visit wordtheater.org and sign up. And join us for an evening with George Saunders on Friday, April 12th in Santa Monica. It's time to wrap it up, so I'd like to thank, always, our philanthropist benefactor Ola Strome, Glass Animals for our theme music, the LA County Department of Arts and Culture for their ongoing support of this podcast, and thank you to all our wonderful interns, our podcast intern, Riley Fox, our executive coordinator, Scout Riley, and our podcast editor, Jason Lee. This is Cedaring Fox. Until next week, signing off.